Okay, dopes. Our final system of this course is the reproductive system. It is different than all the others in this one really important way. With the other systems we've studied, each of them is absolutely essential to keep you alive. The reproductive system isn't about your health, it's about the health of the species. It's about ensuring that the species continues. So it is quite a bit different in its general function. And the other way that it's different is that it's a system that seems like it's offline until you reach puberty. And that's our first bullet that we wrote down, seems to be in a slumber until puberty. So it kicks in at the beginning of adolescence with the change in some of the hormones that we'll be talking about. Some general biology reviews, the word gonads in our notes, it is testes in men, ovaries in women, and their job is to produce sex cells and hormones. Another biology word that we're going to be using is gametes, and those are sex cells produced by men, sperm, and women, egg, that contain one of each chromosome. And as you recall, you have to reduce the amount of genetic information you give to your offspring. You can't give them everything you have, and your mate gives them everything they have, because your kid would end up with way too much. So we reduce it in half. Instead of giving 23 pairs of chromosomes to our sex cell, we give 23 chromosomes. The next bullet we talk about, sex hormones control the development and function of reproductive organs, as well as behaviors and drives. So don't forget that hormones, besides altering tissue and such, they also alter behavior, and it changes with an increase in testosterone and estrogen. Also aids in the development of other organs and tissues in the body. So it's not just reproductive organs that it affects. Those sex hormones also have to do with increase of skeletal and muscle mass and other things like that. So in this notes packet, the notes packet will be split into two separate sections. Male reproductive system will be covered first, and then the female. If you haven't been opening your book and looking at pictures as we've been doing our notes, you really need to for today. The internal plumbing of all this is complicated, to say the least, and it will help with visuals if you either open the book to page 1031, or I've downloaded all the essential pictures onto the webpage if you want to print them out or just have them open while you're listening. It's going to help you understand this. So on page 1031 is just a general picture of male anatomy. In the notes packet, we'll start with testes. They're about 1.5 inches in length and about 1 inch wide. Second bullet, when you're looking at this drawing, you're like, hey, I see it there. Second bullet says there's two of them. So that's always really good information to know. Inside are going to be seminiferous tubules and interstitial cells. And there's another drawing we're going to look at on page 1040. And it's one of the testes, a cross section. You can see the structures internally. And what you'll see in the seminiferous tubules, they kind of look like ramen noodles. You're going to notice that in this chapter, a lot of the structures I'm going to compare to food. I don't know if that's really going to ruin that food for you, but what am I going to do? Seminiferous tubules are the location of sperm cell development. So that's where they're going through the cell division that reduces the chromosome to singles of each. And in between those seminiferous tubules are interstitial cells. And those are going to be where the male androgen testosterone is produced. The male duct system, so these sperm cells are going to have to travel through various structures on their way out. And you see the male duct system identified in order, epididymis, then the ductus deferens, and then the urethra. We'll go through each of those, starting with epididymis. Again, if you're open to page 1040, it's going to help. Epididymis is a 20-foot long coiled tube. And if you look at the drawing on 1040, the very top left label says head of epididymis, and you can see that again, you've got more of the ramen noodle structure there. And if you were to straighten out that coiled tube, it'd be 20 feet long. It is the first part of the male duct system, and it is temporary storage for immature sperm cells. So the moment they are made, they are not ready to go off to war. They got to go through some changes, and they mature during the 20 days that it takes to move through the epididymis. When ejaculation does occur and the sperm cells have to leave, we ain't got time to just have these guys swim on out of there. They get pushed out through contractions of the walls. And you probably remember the word peristalsis. You have muscular contractions that move these guys out quick. On the next page, we start with the ductus deferens. You'll want to go back to page 1031 in the book for this to find this tube. And again, it's a crazy route that it follows, but when you see this labeled ductus deferens, in many books they still call this the vas deferens, but it's the same thing. So first bullet is AKA vas deferens, and its job is to carry the sperm cells from the testes to the prostate. Now look at this coiled tube, it's ridiculous. You got the testes down there in the epididymis, and then at the bottom of the epididymis starts the ductus deferens, and it goes up. You see it travel in front of the pubis bone, around the top of the urinary bladder, around the backside of it, where it joins into the prostate. I mean, that's like driving on the 405 in Los Angeles, so you're going everywhere down there. As I said earlier, peristalsis moves the sperm cells. You're not going to wait for them to go swim in this distance. And then surgically cutting this tube is what's called a vasectomy. You've probably heard that before. Down in the scrotal sac, a vasectomy would be cutting that tube and tying it off so the sperm cells never get to leave that area. The urethra is the tube from the prostate to the tip of the penis, and you can find that on the picture. It has two jobs, the urethra does in males. It delivers urine, obviously, and also semen during ejaculation. Now, accessory glands and the contents of semen itself. The next structure we're going to talk about is the seminal vesicles. They are located on the posterior base of the bladder, and you can find them in the page on 1031 on the backside there. They account for 60% of the fluid volume of semen. And whereas sperm cells are what came out of the testes, you're going to add some other contents to semen starting here. They're going to put in some sugars, vitamin C's, and prostaglandins, which are hormones. They mix with the sperm cells at the prostate during ejaculation. The prostate itself, this is one of those structures where, like, everyone's heard the word, but if you ask people to define it for you, they're going to have a hard time describing it. We'll start with its physical description. It's a donut-shaped gland. There goes some more food. About the size of a peach pit, even more foods to think about. It encircles the upper urethra, just below the bladder. And during ejaculation, it also secretes a fluid into the semen. Now, the reason you've probably heard of the prostate is that in men over the age of 50, or starting around 50, for many men, the prostate starts to grow again. This is an odd thing to happen. You know, you're 50 years old and now it decides to start growing. But it does. And so in addition to growing outward, if you're looking at the drawing, those tubes that pass through become narrowed because of the growth. It grows inward also and makes, in particular, urination becomes a real problem if the prostate starts to grow. Prostate cancer is the third most common in men. So it's one that after the age of 50, men get examined probably yearly to make sure that it's not growing abnormally. There's also prostate-specific antigen, PSA tests. When they draw your blood, they look for elevated levels of that to see if it's getting into trouble. The inspection of the prostate is a simple procedure. I don't want to go into too much depth on this, but let's say it involves rubber gloves and some Vaseline, okay? So what the doctor's going to do is feel the inside of the rectum where the prostate is to see if there's a bulge forming there. So yeah, that's good time. Next structure are the bulbourethral glands. Find them on the pictures. Tiny pea-sized glands, peas, again, food, behind the prostate. It's these glands have an interesting job. They are going to secrete a fluid that moves through the urethra during sexual arousal before ejaculation ever occurs. Its job is to neutralize any acidic urine that might be in the urethra still from the last time urinated. And also it has a lots of lipids in it, so it's very slippery and helps work as a lubricant during intercourse. So like I said, though, that's not part of ejaculation. It comes out before that happens. On the next page of notes, we're going to address the semen itself. It is a sticky white mixture of sperm cells and accessory gland secretions. I had mentioned earlier that part of it coming out of seminal vesicles was sugar, in particular fructose, provides energy for sperm cells for the next 48 hours. It's kind of a cool thing biologically. Sperm cells, as single cell critters, and you remember they have the flagella for pushing themselves around, they don't have a lot of energy storage. So by putting this sugar into the semen, they're going to literally absorb it from their environment for up to 2 days for swimming around in there looking for an egg. In addition about semen, it's an alkaline solution, meaning that it's a little bit on the base side, and part of the job of this is to neutralize the acidity of the vagina. The vagina normally maintains an acidic environment to help reduce the growth of bacteria and fungi and everything like that. So if you were just to toss these guys in there and say, now go swimming, the acidity would burn them up just like it would other single-celled critters. So this temporarily neutralizes the acidity found in the vagina. Any ejaculation should contain anywhere from 2 to 5 milliliters of fluid, with 50 to 150 million sperm cells per milliliter. If you do the math on that, that means in any ejaculation you have anywhere from, it's a pretty big range, 100 million to 750 million sperm cells that are released. Now, I usually don't like to give out participation trophies and things like that, but I do want you to consider this for a minute. At your conception, the day you were made, you were thrown into a competition with up to 750 million other contestants, and you freaking won. Like, I know it's true of everybody sitting in the room right now. You all won, and then maybe that dilutes a little bit. But you had a lot of competition that you, you know, you started out as a champion. You should be proud of yourselves. All right. External genitalia for the male anatomy. Two structures here, scrotum and penis. Scrotum is a divided pouch skin that holds the testes and adjusts to the environmental temperature. So it has the ability to move up and down depending on if it's hot or cold. Normally, it tries to hold the testes at a temperature about 5 degrees cooler than the rest of the body. Sperm cells divide better at that temperature, so it makes the adjustments as needed. When the environment's too cold, the scrotum, with the contraction of smooth muscles, will raise the testes to receive warmth from the body. So everything puckers up like a frightened turtle. Next is the penis. It is designed to deliver sperm into the female reproductive tract. It's about a clinical definition as you can ever have. The skin on the surface is loose and forms a cuff at the tip of the penis called the prepuce. Sometimes this is referred to as foreskin. The removal of this skin is a circumcision. It's a word many people have heard, don't know exactly what it is. But it's that extra skin that you have for the penis to help it during erection, change in size and shape. Last bullet for the penis, urethra is surrounded by three columns of erectile tissue that are filled with blood during erection. A picture I want you to refer to for this, these erectile tissue structures, is on page 1043, so go there. And what you have here is a rather painful cross-section drawing of the penis. And if you look at the top right drawing on 1043, these three columns, the one that they've highlighted in red is the spongy urethra. It goes around the urethra, the tube that urination or ejaculation will take place through. And then there are two other columns above it. This picture always reminds me of some weird cartoon face. And again, I don't know. It's kind of weird. But what happens is those open spaces fill with blood during erection, and it changes it from a flaccid to a rigid structure, which aids in intercourse. On the next page, we have testosterone production. The seminiferous tubules, as I told you before, are told to make sperm cells when they receive follicle-stimulating hormone, FSH. The interstitial cells are told to make testosterone by luteinizing hormone, LH. Both FSH and LH are going to be secreted by the anterior pituitary. So this is the awakening that's going to happen. The anterior pituitary is going to release those at the start of puberty, and then they will wake up the boys. Stimulates a young man's growth spurt and sex drive, and leads to the development of secondary sex characteristics, which are listed below. Deepening of voice, increased hair growth around the body, enlargement of skeletal muscles, and increased mass of skeleton due to growth and density.